we've ever done. Unfortunately, it was probably the worst opening to any show we've ever done, goddammit, and it was hilarious.
It wasn't the worst, because there's times we came in here and we're like, we have a lot to talk about, and we didn't talk about anything.
We actually were sitting down in front of the mics before the song ended, and we felt good about ourselves, and we felt like we had to let the show down by just continuing our conversation. It was funny, though. You did change. Like, you were, like, you know, your voice got a little more animated once, because we both pretended like the show hadn't even begun.
Yeah.
But you were still talking, and then you were slowly but surely becoming more animated and using more adjectives.
It's the evolution of the show is kind of interesting when you think about it, because in the beginning, we were so enthusiastic.
We were like cavemen drunk.
But yes. But we were in here ready to go. You know, like, here we go.
Now we're just
cavemen.
Now
it's like we waltz in like 5 minutes late.
But we're more professional in the sense that we're sober. So I'm thinking, like, 5 years from now, we're a half hour late, and we come in and we talk very proper.
We're dressing for the occasion.
Speaking of dressing, I promised that I would wear the shirt that my mom got me.
Oh, my gosh.
Mumsies, why would you get me this shirt? Mumsies, I don't know if I can ever wear this shirt in public other than right now. Mumsies, I can't wear this shirt, Mumsies. What do I do with this shirt, Mumsies?
Moms have a tendency to buy, at least my mom...
Should it trouble me that my mom thought of me when she saw this shirt? The shirt says... I can't see what the shirt says. It says...
You can only say WTF so many times a day before you just decide to start drinking.
Yeah.
What is that horrible material that's not cotton and it's not fur, but it's thick? It's not flannel.
It's not cotton or fur.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what it could be.
They make crappy jackets out of it.
Fluff. Polyester.
Well, it is made out of polyester.
Old cotton candy that's been in the sun.
Okay, it's kind of thick.
That's not this, like, but this shirt's not made of that.
Well, here's the point.
Do not offend my mother any more than she's been offended right
now. My mom will go, I'm getting you a pullover jacket made of fleece.
Fleece.
And I go, I don't want that. I'm not going to wear it. Too bad. I'm getting it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right. So it sat in my closet for 5 years till I finally had the balls to drop it off at Goodwill.
Why do you hate your mom so much?
I don't hate my mom. I have a lot of animosity.
I have a lot of animosity. Yeah. Should we get into this tonight? Should we talk about it?
You know what? There's
it?
A couple of things that are too should private
for
to
Mother's
talk
Day?
About that are the big...
Wait for May?
For Mother's Day, yes. We'll
do it in May?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what we should do is badmouth other people's moms.
Oh, that'd be a good
Day.
One. Hey, like, I still want to do that show. I still want to make a show. Maybe after we all get fired from this one, we'll come crawling back some back door or somewhere. We're getting fired. And we're going to do a show
Mike,
called...
Mike, you're fired by me.
Do a show called Shit Talk.
No, you're fired by me.
That's fine. Cancel each other out. Now just Anderson.
Pick up your check.
Hey, I could do a Bill Burr style. Both of you guys just silent down for a while.
Just an Anderson show would suck so hard.
When did that become Bill Burr style, by the way?
Because he does it all by himself.
I know, but he wasn't the first guy that did that.
Absolute
every single talk
first
radio
human
show,
being in the world.
Every talk radio show with one guy does it by themselves.
Let me ask Tyler a question.
Did it by himself.
Let me ask Tyler a real quick question. Now, he took calls. Why are you being such a cunt there, Ty?
What?
Why are you being so mean to me?
Very rude.
Because you didn't hit record, so we lost radio gold.
You're the one playing the show's reached a new low and getting very angry in there, rolling your little NBC eyes.
If you don't mind me speaking up, I don't think he was being a cunt or being mean to you.
I don't like the word cunt. Please don't
use
it.
Mike, you're hired.
I'm rehiring you, too.
Oh, fantastic. Would you like to take the show on the road, just you and me?
Let's go right now.
Let's be like Zeppelin and we reunite without Anderson.
So the show is called Shit Talk, and people call up from the industry.
John Paul Jones.
And they call up from, like, movie sets. Or, like, they've worked on a movie set all day for a horrible director. Well, we'll just say James Cameron for the sake of names.
Just say James Cameron.
And they just tell horrible stories about things that James Cameron did. And then, you know what? Next week, hey, if James wants to come on the show and defend himself, maybe talk shit about the crew, welcome aboard, James. Come on, sit down.
Nothing would make me more excited to go, like, this week on the show, James Cameron defending himself from the PA that badmouthed him.
From the girl at Crafty who said that he ate all the puffballs before any of the other people got a chance.
I just turned myself down, but you're still super loud.
I'll be louder if you like. I'm sorry. I got to go. Don't use the Lord's name that way. It'll offend Tyler. I got to go fix the... This show is a disaster. I understand that. I got to go fix the thing.
Actually, it's the after disaster.
I got to go fix the thing. And go over to the afterdisaster.com. And then in the meantime, experience a show with Anderson after he's dead.
Yeah. Tyler, would you mind turning me up a little bit? Because Anderson's
I'm dead.
Probably twice as loud as I am.
It's not true.
I can't hear myself.
You want me to turn up the snare? You're literally louder than he is.
Okay. But in my ears, it was... very, very loud coming from his microphone, and I couldn't hear myself.
Maybe that's because you're sitting right next to him.
You know what? You got a point.
I do have a point because I'm Mr. Point. It's my nickname, actually.
Mr. Point.
Yeah.
Hey,
no,
coming at
you. Is that the folder I should have done it in? Okay.
Are you saying that because you're sharp?
Yeah. Hey, Anderson, while you're in here, why don't you fix the phones since you're...
That's why I'm in here.
Oh, that's why you're in here.
Doing a couple things.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, you had a listener encounter?
Yeah, I met a really nice listener last night at 2001. And that's the end of the story.
Is that a new club you go to?
Steven? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. No, he was super cool. Came over and said hi. And I really genuinely in my heart thought he was going to come over and confront me and go, thanks, you a-hole, for ruining the movie with your stupid whispering.
Why were you whispering during
the
movie?
I'm going to be frank about this.
Just be Mike.
Didn't fully get 2001.
Well, I think that's kind of the point.
And I've seen it several times, but I fell asleep halfway through every single time. It's the world's slowest movie. And I need Anderson to explain.
Anderson didn't even get through the first 5 minutes of Gandhi today. I think that's probably slower than 2001.
Okay, you know what? He invited me over to watch Gandhi, and I didn't.
What? Why didn't you invite me over? All right,
I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to have to play by play expose just how. I don't want to call Mike dumb, but.
Why don't you do it from your microphone?
Because his microphone's too loud, apparently. He doesn't want to blow your.
I'm
going to
be honest. Everyone calls me dumb, and I'm fine with it.
That might be proof that you are.
I've had so many people who thought I was so smart hang out with me and go, God, you're dumb. But it's not because it's not.
Do you feel like going, surprise?
Big shocker. No, it's because of my general observations are sometimes stupid. Anderson,
yo,
real quickly.
Call 1-800-LOUD-191.
Fill me in.
We got a few lines.
Fill me in that are open.
On what the non-pretentious version of what 2001 meant.
Okay, here's the thing with 2001 skis. And I understand it is exceptionally slow. However, at the time, in 1969, nothing like that had ever been created.
Absolutely. In fact, it's not even that
visually.
Far from Star Wars, which was in 1975 or 76 or 70.
Probably could have made Star Wars.
77, I mean.
It's kind of like the athlete that goes out there and he can like run faster than everyone, but he doesn't really feel like doing that. You know what else? You know, he's going to do a dance instead.
I gotta say that I don't know any athlete that can run faster than anyone.
It's like the boxer
goes
into the room and into the ring, and he could completely and totally destroy the person in front of him, but he wants to do something pretty instead.
Wants to give people their money's worth.
Yeah, he wants to like actually like sit down and give a little philosophical.
Okay, so I heard people discussing it afterwards, and they had all these.
That's the worst. That's why I can't go to Kubrick screenings, and that's why I'm afraid to go to the Kubrick exhibition. Did I say that right? In LACMA, Los Angeles County Museum of Art, because I know there's going to be douche fucks there looking at his stuff and talking about him, and I'm going to go crazy.
I'm going to go insane.
So have you seen, they pulled it off of YouTube, the documentary explaining how he...
We talk about this every week.
No,
I'm waiting for it to come in the theater.
Okay, it's very good. It's very good. It's very compelling. I tried to make Tara watch it, and then at the movie last night, 20 minutes in, she goes, hey, you know what? I think he did fake the moon landing. Because it was so realistic, the footage. It was a digital transfer, by the way, in that one of those crazy theaters that has the HD projector. And I forgot what it's called. It was the one in Anaheim.
Was it 48 frames per second, brah?
I don't believe so.
That reminds me. New Film Vault up. Very good episode. Top 5 monologues. And despite the fact that I think Brian is actively trying to kill the show... His monologues were all 3 minutes plus.
Glenn Ross, was that one?
God damn it, everyone that says that. I left that as a layup for Brian. He didn't put it on there. Mm-hmm. We are going to do a part two very soon because that should have been on one of our lists. I love that one. It was on my also-ran list.
And it was an addition to the play.
It's Coffees for Hosers, right?
Boom. Tyler. But we played clips. It was a decent episode, and I pissed Brian off greatly. A lot. Like, he's really mad at me.
Like, seriously like, mad, or is he...
He was getting very annoyed with me. Yeah.
Mm.
And I can't tell. I was a bit of a mood.
Do you rely on memory when you're going to come up with it? I mean, when you're like for this monologue episode, do you know stuff? Do you have something in your head
Anderson
that you're
goes into a sensory deprivation
or
chamber?
Do you do research? I want to try one of those babies, but I want it to be clean, so I'm the only one that's in there because I don't want someone else's gross bodily fluids floating around.
I want to go to that though for sure. Take the GoPros in there.
God, that would be the most boring footage of two naked guys laying in a sensory
deprivation
tank.
Usually, on average, like three of my top five picks are from just me driving around and thinking about it a lot, and then the other two are like I do a little research. Sometimes all five are
You have a good memory then because there's stuff that pops into my head.
Well, no, usually whatever you remember is the best stuff anyways because movies you don't like, you don't remember.
But there's been times where people ask me what my favorite part of a certain movie was. And
what's your favorite part of 2001?
Honestly, I think
the monkeys.
The first 30 minutes was with the music was absolutely incredible because once you buy in, it's amazing timing. You know where I checked out was that psychedelic part that lasted way, way, way too long.
That was for the hippies. The hippies love this movie. It was out for 2 years before people actually started going to see it. Such a different time. You know,
did it
mean?
Make money?
It ended up making money, but it was a huge flop, and it's one of the only movies where like almost all the critics did not like it. Like, it got panned quite a bit, and then a lot of them turned around and like, you know what? It's actually pretty good.
You've got to commit.
The same thing's happening with The Master. I just read a big article about The Master, and a few critics have already come out and panned it, and then they've since turned around and said, you know what? I didn't quite understand it. Now I do, and I love this movie.
I'm going to go see
it again.
One of my
all-time favorites.
I'm going to go see it again.
I say no. I will never see it again.
I didn't think it was bad. In fact, I thought – I left the theater actually not knowing what I thought.
Oh, you know what? Okay, so let's go back and step by step real quick. I'm sorry that I just
That's
did
all
that
right.
to you. I'm sorry. Jillian listened to last week's episode of the Hookah Bar. Mm-hmm. Hookah restaurant said that I don't listen to people and I just interrupt.
The Hakuna Matata Bar?
It's not what it was called.
It wasn't really a bar. It was a mediocre restaurant.
It's
but
good
we
restaurant.
Enjoy it. No,
like
it's not
it.
Good.
I like it. It's good.
I like the circumstances. I like being in there. But truthfully, if you're going in there as a critic, you'd be like, this food sucks and the place is filthy.
My fish and chips is fine. You should not order steak there.
You know what? This was the most chilling, both the beginning and
this
the
is
end.
The most chilling part of the
I
why did you
really
kill
bad.
It?
I feel really,
give me the
has Tara ever seen it?
I didn't. The internet's
no.
horrible here.
I feel no. really bad for people who have never seen the movie, who have to go see it, and they're seeing it with a bunch of douche fucks who love it, and they're working it out. That's how my experience was with Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
I had heard so much about it, and I finally go see it, and I was just like, oh, God, am I supposed to like this? Because it's awful. It's terrible. It's not even funny, ironically.
Yes. I saw it in a midnight show in San Diego with
Talking
Rebecca like 20 years ago,
Rocky
and
Horror,
I hated it.
2001.
And then I bought the DVD, and I love it. It's one of my...
Here's what Kubrick said when he made the movie, and we'll stop, because we're getting all techie and geeky with movies. But he said that, and he was right, at the time when he made this in 1968, that hurts my ears. Hurts my ears a lot. Nice fade there, Tyler.
You could have left it on low, though. It would
nice
have been
fade.
Our internet
dramatic.
Is so terrible, it can't play these horrible YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm. They're not horrible. They're great.
Keep
They're genius. They're pure genius.
What, is that, what
genius.
Is that music, by the way?
Oh, that's also Sprach Zarathustra by Strauss. That's
exactly it.
Oh, really? So
exactly
the rest it. Of it's Tchaikovsky?
No. So he was saying that movie making is like in its baby steps, and it's like brand new. And essentially, it still is fairly new. But I mean, when you, like I'm in the middle of... Gandhi right now, and mm-hmm. I still have an hour and 20 minutes left, and I've watched it all day.
It's that good, huh?
190 minutes.
It's
that riveting. Movie. And they would never make a movie like that. Jesus Christ!
That wasn't me.
They could never make 2001 either, because... Okay, here's the deal. Imagine modern-day executives sitting down to watch 2001. They'd be 30 minutes in. Like, when does it start?
It's not no. me. That's the internet stopping it.
That's all right. Just
How
kill
you-
it. Don't
turn the fader on. Down in case that happens again, son.
Why? It's a lot more
entertaining.
How
about you turn down
that
there
happened.
Fader?
Everyone at home right now is happy that it happened. I think it's still here.
Why don't we just ask a caller to stream it through their internet? And then we
How about we just
not
stream it? How about that?
You know
we
what?
Don't need.
Good idea.
We don't need to have that.
It's a talk show.
Jesus Christ.
Damn good Why? Idea.
All right, so where
you're talking
I've
about...
told this story 100 times, but he was watching the dailies in his house, and like there was people, migrant workers, essentially painting his house, and... One of them said, I like how the fancy music's playing with the strange space scenes. And he just happened to have some.
That's your interpretation of how the guy spoke, by the way.
Yeah, that was the painter. The guy was painting the walls.
Did Kubrick say that? Well, interesting story here. He said, I like the way the guy is painting. Or the
I read the quote,
scenes.
And I couldn't read the accent in the quote, but I know there were migrant workers painting the inside of his house in Beverly Hills when he was watching the dailies. Actually, it might have been in London at this point. Yeah, I think it was. And he had migrant workers, so they probably talk Cockney.
Mm-hmm.
Cockney. And I love the music. I'm now meaning French, but essentially he had no plans. And he's like, you know what?
I love
actually,
the music.
Let me try this music in the movie. He just had this on in the background while he was watching the dailies. It was coincidental. It'd be like if you had
I had heard
Kiss FM on or something. And,
no, it wouldn't
One
be
Direction.
Like that at all,
and One Direction was on.
I would never have Kiss FM
One Direction. You were watching dailies of like... kind of
five
movie.
Mike.
Yeah, 5 minutes. I like how One Direction is playing like during your 5 minutes with Mike, eh?
This is what I heard. I heard he had, that was a temporary soundtrack, and he had hired a composer, and then he went to the scratch music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah, the fucking composer didn't know until he was sitting in the premiere. How fucked is that?
That's absolutely. Rude. Much like Suzanne Summers didn't know her voice was overdone
dubbed,
in American
yeah.
Graffiti. Here's the thing.
A lot of directors are total pussies, and they're terrified.
Yes.
And that's why they're good directors, and yeah. they're successful, because actors like to work with pussy directors a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
They can walk all over them. Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of directing some pussy.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Cut.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm into that fetish where chicks wear like golf shoes and step all over my chest. I'm into that. It's good stuff.
I didn't know that even was a fetish.
It is.
I shot
Andy Warhol. You ever see that movie?
No.
You shouldn't. It's not good.
I did see Life After Porn. I thought it was pretty interesting, but I don't want to get into that right now. What I want to mention to you, and I'll stop with the movie talk, the technical movie talk especially, was one of the things I noticed about that movie, which I thought was very, very interesting, is a lot of times people will cut to the music.
He doesn't.
No, he didn't, and it worked perfectly. Yeah. Like
I get so stuck, and I'm sure you do too, when you're editing to cut with the music.
Absolutely.
And I get completely stuck with that.
And if I'm framed
off.
And
I notice most of the things that I love don't cut to music at all. And
but
I try
it still
not.
Had the impact like that. When that music plays at the end, when the baby's turning, it's chilling. Mm-hmm. Chilling, chilling, chilling. But it doesn't go like, dum-dum, right when the baby's head is there. It's earlier on.
I've seen the movie probably 12 times, okay? Mm-hmm. And about 6 of those times I've actually experienced it like all the way through, not to... Some people have said, have you seen 2001 or have you experienced 2001? I've always taken that as, have you taken drugs and watched it? Which is really the way most people saw it back when it became popular in 1970.
I don't agree with that because if you're watching it on
all
TV,
the hippies were showing up and they were watching it. And actually, there's a story, and I must have told it on this show, if not Film Vault, where a hippie was taking acid and he was sitting there. They would actually sit in the aisles back then. It was before the fire department would come down on theaters.
Because it was so crowded?
So crowded.
Okay.
And this one guy stood up and he screamed, I can see God, during that part you don't like, and was running right towards the screen and hit the wall and knocked himself out.
You don't think he would have done that if he was outside and saw a Volkswagen van, too?
Maybe. Maybe.
Here's how I interpret what you just said. If you're watching it at home, you're seeing it. If you're in the theater and you're actually bought into it, it's a giant screen.
Right, you can do that at home, too, though.
Not as much.
I've done it. I've only seen on the big screen. What are we doing? Oh, my God. I've only seen it on the big screen one time. And I've seen it like 11 other times outside the big screen. But I've bought in and watched it completely. A lot of those times I was drinking, though.
Yeah.
You know? And if I buy into it, I've interpreted it like 3 or 4 completely different ways. If I let myself completely buy into it. And they're all really interesting.
It's a good experience.
He purposely made it ambiguous, much like life. And what are we all doing here? And what happens afterwards? And all that shit.
Yeah. Have you seen the series that's going right now, the digitally remastered? And that was part of it. It's got like Sound of Music, Rocky, Butch Cassidy. I don't know, but there's 6 movies, and you can buy all 6 for $30, or you can do what we've opted to do is play 15 each.
Can we talk about how you don't pay attention?
Real quick.
In real life? Ever?
Oh, wait.
How confused you get things?
I was going to say it's a good one this Wednesday, but I'm going to see Social Distortion.
What's a good one this Wednesday?
I think it's Rocky.
Are you trying to get more listeners to meet you there?
No.
You sure?
It's sold out.
What? No, not Social Distortion, the movie thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I'm not going.
All right, so... Tyler, let me bring you.
I would like more people to come over and say hi to me in public.
Oh my God. Mike and I are so alike in so many ways, but not there. Hey, if you see me in public, please go the other way. Please do not talk to me. I just get awkward.
Still haven't talked about why Mike's an idiot and about
I'm trying to. All right, I'm gonna bring you in. I'm just gonna talk to you.
Okay.
So Mike is doing he's been offering for months to do this very nice thing for me. And it occurred to me today.
Touch the penis.
It happens often where I'm thinking about people I like, which there's few of them. But Mike is definitely one of them, and every now and again, like, it gets reinforced. And today, I don't know about you, Ty, but if I'm asking someone to do something for me that's like time-consuming and might even cost them a little bit of money, I have huge guilt. And a lot of that is because I usually don't like that person that I'm having do something for me, and it makes me feel really horrible and gross and sleazy and guilty,
Anderson,
because it's like I don't like this person.
When you said time, I thought you were going to say time-sensitive, like... And Mike's taking so goddamn long.
No. I know it's going to take some time out of your day to do this favor that you're going to do for me. And I was emailing you information about like specs and like how I want it to look and this and that. Mike's printing out this big thing for me.
You're coordinating on specs.
And I wasn't feeling guilty. And it occurred to me, I'm like, I'm not feeling guilty because I love Mike and I don't have guilt. I mean, I use a tinge of guilt, but usually, like, if I'm having someone do something for me, it's like, you know, it's somewhat of a symbiotic relationship, but I don't like them in some other capacity, and that's where the guilt comes from.
Mm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I like it.
Absolutely.
And I don't feel
and
like
when
I'm...
When did you first start feeling the guilt?
So, I ended my email with, hey, if you have any questions, give me a call. I'm just sitting in my house watching Gandhi. I just started it. It's 190 goddamn minutes long. I'm, like, trying to recruit friends and stuff, people to help me out while I'm watching it. So I said, call me up, and we can talk about it. And then about an hour goes by, and the movie's about 30 minutes in. Somehow that's how it works.
Exactly.
And I decided
the feeling
that I was going to ditch Gandhi.
I think like 7 hours went by, and I realized 2001 just started.
I was going to ditch Gandhi. Like, I actually bailed out of Gandhi, and I made plans later in the day to go see another movie.
Did you feel like there were some ethical implications for ditching Gandhi?
No. So I'm like,
you go from Gandhi to an internet porn. You're like, I'm a filthy beast.
I'm learning about Gandhi. It opens up with him in a suit, and he's a lawyer. So I feel very a little guilt. Actually, it opens up with him taking three bullets to the chest.
Spoiler
alert. That was when I tweeted that about how I'm watching Gandhi. Everyone tweeted me.
I know almost nothing about Gandhi.
I'm learning. It's great. I'm going to have another session tonight. I'm going to learn some more.
A session. Come to our four-week class on Gandhi. We just show the movie 20 minutes a day.
That could work. That could fill up a couple weeks. A couple weeks of classes.
You watch 10 minutes and you discuss it for 50, and then you come back next week.
So I decided to opt out and go see another movie, and I'll come back to Gandhi, which I'll finish up tonight. Right? And I found the movie, and it's only playing in three theaters, so I'm very excited. I've been waiting to see West of Memphis for some time, and I decided to send a text to Mike. This is like an hour later, a half hour after Gandhi had started.
You don't need to go back to Gandhi, by the way.
I'm going. And I said, hey, right now he's in the middle of like his third hunger strike. So I sent a text to Mike. Hey, do you want to come see West of Memphis with me in Santa Monica? It starts at 4:40. And then Mike writes me an email. He doesn't even text me back. He writes me an email back. I've never seen Gandhi and I don't want to start now. Sorry, I'm busy anyways. I can't come to your house. How would you get that confused? That's like really confused.
Yeah, you're right.
In his defense, he's Mike Carano.
That's a good point.
You know what?
The defense rests.
You're right. That's how I interpreted it. Was come over to my house and watch Gandhi with me. And the way my first reaction was, you want me to drive like 45 minutes to your house to watch Gandhi?
I would never. I would feel guilty about that
Gandhi
if I was asking you to do.
From UHF.
All right.
Doesn't take any shit this time.
Here's the exact text.
Porker
at 1:45.
He just eats.
Going to see West of Memphis at 4:30 in Santa Monica. It was actually 4:40, but I was afraid he'd show up late.
And everybody else in my life does that to me.
Want to witness the wrongful imprisonment of three innocent youths? And somehow his response on email, not even text, was, never seen Gandhi, don't want to start now. Three innocent youths. Gandhi.
Yeah, I didn't realize that happened till now.
Did you think that Gandhi took advantage of three innocent girls?
By the way, in my defense, the reason I emailed you back is because you emailed me.
We were emailing and texting.
Mm-hmm. There's no texts.
There is right there. Okay. I'll show it to you. That's the text.
I believe you faked this.
All right. What are we talking about tonight on that fucking show?
Let's talk. Hey, you know what I'd like to know is, did I make this up? How come Tyler's not speaking tonight, by the way?
He's a pab.
Look
at that, full line.
Too busy talking about 2001. And
well, because for such a young guy, I think you may have a little bit of insight into this.
Oh, we're going back to 2001 now.
Am I imagining this or not? But in the 20s and 30s, wasn't the whatever was supposed to stand for New Year's Eve, wasn't it a baby smoking a cigar? Or did I just make
that
year
up? No.
It was a baby and he would fight with the old man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he was smoking a cigar, right?
Sure.
Because I punched in baby smoking a cigar on New Year's Eve and there was nothing. Now, everybody, you don't have to do it and prove me wrong. Because many times I've gone, there's nothing about this on the internet, and all of a sudden, bing, 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 bing. Like, oh, yeah.
Maybe your Wi-Fi just wasn't connected.
Oh, my God, I didn't have a computer either.
In the beginning of the show, I wanted to give credit to Scott by Scott, who does a fantastic job on the AfterZest.com. Not to take anything away from Damien and Justin, who do a fantastic job on AndersonCowan.com.
They do a great job.
Triton Computing. But what I'm talking about was... The AfterDisaster.com is a great website, and you should check that out. I don't know if I said that or if it got cut off. Did it get cut off, Ty? Like I cut off that?
You never said that.
So this review, fresh off the press, West of Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Very good movie.
I was really wishing you were there with me because you think that the Memphis Three are guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, if you saw this movie, there's just no way they're guilty. Actually, they find the guy who's guilty. Turtles! Play a big part in this movie. I would have never thought. Because I've seen all three of the Paradise Lost.
Are they private investigator turtles?
What's that, Tata?
I like turtles.
Really? Tuttles? Sorry. I like
turtles. Remember those delicious candies, those turtles that were chocolate with nuts
here.
And caramel?
That's so stupid.
Hey, can I tell you?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
That Stephen Colbert, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, that's Americone Dream, is friggin' delicious.
Thanks for telling us that.
Have you tried it?
Right now.
Hey, I'm giving some insight into one turtles. Of the most delicious things available on the planet Earth.
Mike,
that's it.
I'm going to talk about robots in a minute and how much they anger me.
I love robots.
let me ask you. I think that your brain doesn't really work that well sometimes, and I'm afraid because sometimes it can work to my disadvantage. Because the last thing that I want is for people who I know and care about and respect to think that I'm like a dick.
I don't think that.
In your head right now, do you think that I was earlier talking about how you're not doing that thing that I asked you to do fast enough?
Yeah.
You do.
I already said that. Yes, absolutely.
But do you think that right now?
No. No. I didn't really think it, but I thought.
You did think that. And then I told you that's not the truth, that's not where I was going. But I thought maybe in your head you got stuck there.
I thought
you
were going to say time sensitive and you're going to be like, I wanted this stuff 3 weeks ago and he barely started on it.
No. Well, you didn't have it until like yesterday. You didn't even have it. So it's not your fault. But no, you know what I'm saying? Like where you thought that I was going to go there, but I didn't go there. So you were mistaken. But some people do that and then they get stuck in their head and it's like, that's.
I didn't think it till I heard the word time come out of your mouth, and a split second later, a fraction of a second later, I heard the word S.
Should we not talk about this anymore with Ty Ty? Is that what you're trying to say? Is that what the clock was for?
No, that was the clock ticking on Mike to do his task for you.
Oh, I see.
Chop, chop, Mike.
Well, I'm a little insecure about that. However, we do have full lines.
I'll take those wedding photos when you got a chance.
What is that, 18 months there, Ty?
Can I just tell anybody and everybody, and I doubt people are listening with the exception of you, that I've taken photos for and they have said, can you send them to me? I've never sent people their photos.
They're kind of a pain.
Unless it's a
Mike,
job where I do
a photographer.
I've never done it. Because it gets buried behind other jobs and then it's gone. Like there's a comic that I took pictures of probably 3 years ago and every time I see him, he's like, hey, can I get those photos? I'm like, no problem, this week. And then I send him an email or a text like 2 months later going, I didn't forget about you. And it's never going to happen. He's never going to get those photos.
So I'm on theafterdisaster.com, and I realize that we have a link to lemonparty.org now. I'm not sure why you put that on there.
I hope he took the Christmas hats off those dudes.
It won't open, so that's unfortunate. Mm.
I got to say that I didn't like it as much. Well, I didn't like it. I got to say that.
What? Didn't like what?
Lemon Party, when they put the hats on the guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, I didn't like it.
Why?
Because it takes away from some of the shock value.
That's the whole point. Right?
The hats are making it into a joke.
They put bunny ears on them Easter.
Really?
Yeah. I go there for every big holiday.
St. Patrick's Day, they're wearing friggin' green.
Little rainbows going to their crotches.
The daily Google logo. Anderson's checking.
All right, we lost line five.
Logos are fantastic.
We lost line five. So,
what's your favorite one?
That 17% of our audience is bored. Or was.
Is that really the math?
Oh, I wonder if on the Mayan, this was the end of the world, they were wearing like Mayan headdresses.
I knew I should have cut him off and not let him say it. I knew it.
There have been some amazingly great Google, like the interactive ones are the best.
Not what I'm talking about.
Like that that Moog one.
At all.
I hope I never have to hear about the Mayans again.
That would be pretty great if like all the news outlets were like, all right, guys, if we live through this, Mayans banned from any kind of copy. Any kind of teleprompter, any kind of cue card, anywhere, ever.
You know what?
Stricken from the record.
That would suck for like the 14 Mayans that are still around.
Yeah. You know what I think was one of the most fascinating things I've seen?
And line five back.
In photographs.
Line five back.
You know where those Mayan pyramids are? Like around them, they have those bodies of water that are just surrounded by thick, thick
moss.
Well, like trees and stuff. And then there's just a pitch black body of water that goes hundreds and hundreds of feet deep. Isn't that, have you seen those pictures? And it's riveting. It's like a forest, and then there's a lake with no shoreline. Uh-huh. It just goes straight down, like a black body. It's not really black, but you know, it's surrounded by trees, and it's in the jungle.
Paintings you're looking at?
God damn it.
Is Werner Herzog in the...
Hit pause. We got to look this up.
You've seen Django. Back to movie talk.
Yeah.
Paintings.
I saw Django.
You saw Django. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I hope that this occurred to you at least once during the movie, and I'm not going to give anything away, but Samuel Jackson's character... Remind you a little bit of Reggie?
A little bit.
Little bit of Reggie.
Hey, am I wrong saying he came in and out of character?
Oh, yeah. He's never great. Sorry. Samuel Jackson's always Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, he went from Southern, like slave sounding to Samuel Jackson in the same sentence.
Well, not nearly as bad as Tarantino, though, as he went Southern to Australian.
Okay.
To
the person I saw that movie with went, he's not a bad actor, and I wanted to go like,
hmm. Wait, who said that? Somebody you know said that about Tarantino?
Yeah.
It's almost like he's doing what Brian does to the Film Vault this week to his own movies. Like, I dare you not to like it, even though I suck.
I dislike his cameos more than any other cameos.
Rune! Can Rune hear me? Rune's trying to leave, and he has the camera stuck on Tyler. I don't like that.
Well, it should be on me.
I don't know why it's stuck on you. Rune!
Stuck in the middle,
Rune!
Tyler.
Maybe it's on a cycle. I guess we'll just have to watch it and see.
This is terrible.
Like it's its period?
No, this is not good.
That kind of cycle?
Actually, I don't care. Cyclical.
I don't like the cameras, but when they're on, I don't like them not on me.
It's true. That's exactly how I feel.
Oh, my gosh. How about this pathetic reason to get into an argument?
Mm-hmm. Here, Rune's back. Yell at him.
Rune! Hey, how are you, buddy? Good to see you. So you're leaving right now. The show that you don't get paid for, this one, the actual show. Yeah, I know you get paid for the pre-show, but you don't get paid for this one. But still, I mean, if you're going to do something, you might as well do it right. That would be okay to just leave it with that stuck on Tyler. Now, before you go over there and monkey, is it cyclical? Like Tyler is suggesting it might be like going to go from one to the next, or is it just stuck on Tyler?
That would be funny if it went from one to the next, and it never caught us speaking on camera.
There we go.
That's much better.
I don't like Kevin.
Wait.
Tyler's got the 16:9 thing going. Actually,
I don't mind that, actually.
Mike, you need to be the bottom of my face.
Anamorphic widescreen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure that all the people listening at work
that looks terrible.
Can't see it.
Hey, everybody, I'm Tyler.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is going to sound... No, I'm not going to say it. All right.
Hey, look.
Oh, man.
All right, back to the audio portion.
Wait, Tyler,
thank you, Rune.
Tyler, do this. Ready?
Stop it, guys. Really.
All right, my world famous Daniel Brainview.
For those of you who cannot see, it's not worth going to...
It's absolutely worth it.
Go check out... go to theafterdisaster.com and you can cue it up to this part.
You missed the pinnacle of it, though, because I don't think we're going to do it again. Or are we?
Well, let's do it with our penises. We'll do the pinnacle.
All right. I'll be the balls.
Guys, come on. Really? Speaking of which...
Did you like...
We see Upside Down Cock in...
did you like Django Unchained?
Django. I thought it was all right.
Did you see it, Tyler?
No.
Here's the problem with Tarantino movies. Unless it's really, really good, like Inglourious Basterds, I thought it was great. Like, it transcended Tarantino, and I forgot that he made it because it
Kill
was
Bill.
So good. Kill Bill, I don't like.
Oh,
but
God,
Kill Bill is
my
like,
favorite Tarantino movie.
Tarantino movies, he's so loud, and he's such a huge, loud personality, which, you know, most people like. For me, because I've seen him so much and he talks about his movies and he puts himself in the movies, it's rare that I'm watching the movie not thinking about him both writing it and directing it. At all times. You know what I mean?
I agree. I do, too.
I can't just watch the movie for the movie. I picture Tarantino right off camera looking and nodding his head with his hair flapping around. I can't get him out of the movie.
You want to know what took me out of that movie that ruined it for me? Was that whole scene with the bags on the heads. It's like this jokey, stupid comedic.
I didn't mind that
comedic.
If there was more of it,
yeah, but
consistently.
It didn't follow through with them. It was just this stupid scene that you know he fell in love with and decided to throw it in there.
It felt like a Coen Brothers movie at that
point. That part did.
Yeah, it felt Miller's Crossing.
Did you think in any way, shape, or form that Spike Lee was correct saying that movie was a poor
reflection? We talk about this a lot.
But did
on
you
film
think
ball.
So? Because I didn't think
no,
so.
No, I think that what I said on the film, I think that, and who am I? I'm just some dumb fucking white dude, right? But for me, my interpretation of that is Spike Lee is jealous that he's not making kick-ass movies about kick-ass black dudes like that.
Too.
And I would actually like the movie a lot more if it was like the Hughes brothers that made that. Or even John Singleton. Not Spike Lee, because I fucking hate that guy. But if I wish that like a strong black filmmaker had made that instead of some goofy, nerdy white guy who's obsessed with black culture.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wish that there were black filmmakers that were. I wish Tyler Perry would make a kick-ass movie like that.
He's too busy making awesome Alex Cross.
Mm-hmm. He's too busy making hundreds of millions.
Yeah, seriously.
Can I just... this might be awful. This might not go anywhere, but can I just...
most of this episode?
Can I steam a little bit?
Sure.
Steam it,
bro.
Steam. Let it flow.
Got out of the movie theater tonight.
Hold on, I'm making the noise of steam.
He's ready, mate.
You guys got to continue doing that while I tell my story. I got out of the movie tonight, and it was like 7:15. All right. I walk across the street. I parked at a structure across the street that I used to park in a lot because I used to go to this movie
theater. Which theater?
Santa Monica, Monica Fourplex, Lemley Theater, 3rd Street Promenade, right?
Across the street or across the alley?
Across the street because it's on 2nd Street. I'm boring.
It's on
95% of our audience.
3rd Street.
It's on 2nd Street. There's four theaters on 3rd Street. This is not one of them. There's four
I know where it is.
There's four movie theaters in that area.
It's three on the west side of the street.
Three of them are on 3rd Street.
Yes.
One of them is on 2nd Street. Yeah. And I went to the one on 2nd Street. It's called Monica Fourplex because it has four theaters in there. It's a Lemley Theater.
I get it.
And I parked across the street at the very top of the structure there.
The penthouse.
Last time I was... It's a beautiful view, actually. I wish I had more time. I would have actually sat up there for a minute and looked around. It would have been nice.
You mean like your life's coming to an end or more time... at that moment.
I used to like work out down. My gym was down there, and I was down there 5-6 times a week. I have not been down there in 3-4 years. Everything has changed. They got rid of the real life people in the booth that would take the ticket and take the money and all that.
Yes, and I find that disturbing.
It is disturbing and upsetting, and it's the so many angry thoughts went through my head over the next 30 minutes.
You have to jam a credit card in.
Next 30 minutes of my life, because that's how long it took me to get from the little ticket booth to my car to out, and there was no lines. I mean, sometimes I used to get stuck in that parking lot because everyone was leaving at the same time.
I haven't had that experience. I park in those lots all the time, and I get right in, right out. But here's what I saw. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but here's what I saw a couple of weeks ago when I was down there, was the dude on the other guy's tail. The person put their credit card in. The arm went up. This guy stayed right on the other one's bumper, right through, no problem.
They must have the sensor. Anyways. I don't have the balls to try that. But you have to go to a little...
You have a big car, too.
A lot of people...
Does anyone out there know if you can just walk back into the parking structure right when you're ready to leave and just hit for a new ticket?
No, I've tried that. You got to be heavy enough. And you got to like jump on the sensor. Actually, my friends and I used to do that often. We would jump on the sensor like at the same time. We'd jump up and smash the ground. And we would get it to trigger sometimes. Think that a car is there. We take the ticket.
If you're fast.
Golden.
If you're fast.
No, it has nothing to do with speed.
You have like 40 friends.
Has nothing to do with speed. No, take like 3 or 4 of us.
But if you're quick enough, you can time it perfectly so you're strolling up next to the car that's there, and you can just...
You just steal the person?
Grift their ticket right out of the thing.
So in the olden days, you get your ticket, and then you go through the olden days. This is a couple years ago. And then I take my little thing, and I put it in if I owe them a couple bucks, and I'm always like extra nice to those poor people because they fucking work in a parking structure and breathe in all those fumes.
And they probably take a lot of shit, too.
Try not to blow my cigarette smoke into their little box.
A lot of them give a lot of shit. A lot of those people are horrible.
Yeah, that's why
the person at the farmer's market is a piece of shit.
Okay, so now you got to go.
I exaggerated a little bit.
You have to take your ticket, and then you have to put it in the thing.
Is it a person or a piece of
shit? He's just slow.
A lot of places have this now. I don't know if it's like prevalent around the country or if it's just the big metropolises, but where you got to take your ticket, and then you got to prepay. You got to prepay.
Oh, I didn't know you could prepay because I stick my credit card in on the way out.
That's what I should have done. That's what I wanted to do, but I'm like, you know what? I'll do the goddamn prepay. So I put my thing in, and it's like, you owe $1.50. I'm like, all right, here's my credit card. Won't take the credit card. Of course, there's some old man and his wife standing next to me. They're like 80 years old. They're not speaking a lick of English, and they're very confused.
Not a lot of time left.
And I'm waiting and waiting for them because my machine, there's only 2 machines, won't take the goddamn credit card. So I'm waiting. Next thing I know, I'm helping this guy try to jam his dollar bill in there. It won't take it. So I tell him, why don't you just try your credit card? That one won't work. So next thing you know, he's thanking me profusely, being very nice. He puts in his credit card. I'm like, thanks, goodbye. Will you hold the elevator for me, sir? Because I'm on the 9th floor. There's only one goddamn elevator. He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I turn, I put in my ticket. It was $150. Now it's $4. $4, right? So I'm like, all right, and put my credit card in, turn to my left, old man gone. Old man and his wife in the elevator, up and gone. They didn't even fucking...
Unreal.
It hadn't been 30 seconds.
Unreal. How come you didn't wait down there and catch him on the way out?
Because it wasn't worth it, because I had to get
to think it's worth it.
So then I go upstairs, and I hit every goddamn floor, because everyone's on this one elevator, and I hit every... 7 of the 9 floors. I go up to my car. At least I'm thinking, you know what? Don't freak out. It's nice night in Santa Monica. It's beautiful stars out. You're on the top floor. I look to the ocean for a minute. I'm like, not doing it. I just want to get the fuck out of here. So I hopped in my car, sped down. There was no cars because I've been stuck in there in rush hour. Another thing that's very upsetting. On my way into the theater at 3:45 into the parking structure, 9 stories, not a spot. Not a spot. I had to circle around for like 20 minutes before I finally found a spot. L.A. in the middle of the day, not a spot at that goddamn mall. When I got out at like 7:30,
empty. Yeah.
When most malls in America would be, have people for movie theaters and they're going out to dinner, empty.
I go down there at least once every other week. No, but I've been going down there and I park in those structures
in the middle
across
of the, day, it's
the alley. And, but it's easy in, easy out every time. I've never had unless it was a Saturday night in the summer, but I'm right in and right out. But you're right, in the daytime, nightmare.
So here's the fatal flaw with this thing. Okay. You know how like we all have to, I don't have any great examples on the top of my head.
It really was fatal, like you killed that guy, because now I hate him.
This is going to be fatal because I almost fucking lost it. I almost lost it. I wasn't even sure who I was going to strike out against. I just needed somebody to feel pain. There's two different exits where you could put in your little prepaid card. Okay. When you get your prepaid card, though, much like the movie theaters, they give you the card that you got to use as well as a receipt card, which is exact same shape and everything. And if you're not actually conscious and looking and aware, you're going to maybe confuse the two, maybe throw away the wrong one. So, of course, the lady that's in front of me, there's two lines, mind you, but I get behind the one lady who can't figure it out. And she's putting in the wrong card, upside down. I'm sitting there for 6 minutes before I finally get the lady behind me to back up. So then I back up, and then we both go around, and I get behind another lady who's doing that. Now there's two ladies. Sorry, they just happen to be ladies.
Ladies.
They can't figure it out. They're flipping around back, and I know
my life at
I know
the
what
ATM.
It is. And so many things in life are fucked because, like, the airport. Like, we all have to go through security because one thousandth of 1% might try and light fire to their shoe, right?
It's way less than that, but I'm not going to go to the airport anymore because of the fact that my resolution was not to fly anymore.
That's a good one. But when it comes to, like, robots and getting out of parking structures, they don't think about how 10% of the population is too stupid to work this properly, so we all suffer.
Are those really robots?
So we get fucked on both angles. It's artificial robots, intelligence. It's artificially intelligent lady figuring out how much money I owe. Yeah?
That's just a computer.
But we get fucked on both
sides.
If it
was a robot, wouldn't he be holding a can of oil?
What I'm saying is we get fucked on both sides. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah. Mike. All the robots carry their own can of oil. Can you put this in my back?
And we are not with you completely.
We are not smart enough as a society to be able to check ourselves out at supermarkets yet.
Welcome to my world at the ATM. I always get behind somebody that acts like they've never used it, and they have to stare at the keypad. And then they go through the menu, and you want to just go get the fuck away from it. And then some goddamn woman in front of Cedars had the balls to ask me if I was going to be a while when I walked up there. Because I'm the fastest ATM worker you've ever seen. I guarantee it. I have my card. One movement in my hands. I swear to God, over the keypad, I can deposit a check and get money, and I'm out of there before other people even have the keys punched in.
I get you. Whoopsh. I'm kind of slow these days at the ATM because I don't go until I have like 6 checks. That's how lazy I am. So I always kinda feel bad for the person behind me.
Twice a year.
You jam them in one pile.
I know, but the goddamn Chase is always spitting them back out. Cannot read. Cannot
read. Wells Fargo has very rarely
cannot read.
One check that was for I'll just say.
All right.
500, but it made a mistake, and it wasn't 500. That's what they thought it said.
You know, when I was this is a terrible story.
It was really 5,000.
No one cares. I was a Bank of America.
I was cashing I was depositing a check for 5,000.
No one cares. It was 5,000. 500.
No, but that's the only mistake they've made.
But you're trying to be money bags over there.
It was 50,000.
Like, it makes
and
me
knowing
gross.
It was Mike Rana, who's 5 million. Like, at least I got 500. Didn't ever complain.
So you know what? It's funny. For a brief second, I was like, fuck it.
I shouldn't admit this, and I'm not going to admit everything, but I was on a bit of a bender once when I was about 17, probably.
I can't believe you're admitting that.
And I had $19 in my account, and the banks were closed. It was like 1 in the morning, and I wanted to get a 20 out, and there was only 19 in the account. So I did a fake deposit of $1, and I put in like a little slip of nothing, and then they gave me my $20. I don't think they would do that nowadays. I think they would wait for the dollar to clear.
Back
then,
correct.
They gave me the $20, and I got so many fucking letters to the point where I actually had to go in, sit down, and get reprimanded by the banker guy. I forgot all about this till just now. He's like, "This was a very serious offense, young man," and I've not been with Bank of America since.
I have not been with Bank of America either. Well, I haven't been with them for, you know what? I got to say, I was not with them either because they closed my account. Because when I was a kid, they started a new thing called the Alpha account. And it was
only for alpha males.
It was to build your credit with you when you had no credit. And I was like 16 or I was like 18 or 19. I had no credit. My friend Dave goes, "You got to check this out. They will give you $300 for no reason in credit." So I signed up and I went to check my balance and it was $300. And I was like, "This is insane."
But it's credit. It's not cash.
It doesn't matter. You can take it out right then. $300 cash that came from nowhere. And then if you paid it back in a timely manner, like whatever, you know, a monthly payment through the ATM, then they gave you $700. And my friend and I maxed it out immediately. Immediately.
But these are just credit cards, right?
No, it wasn't even a credit card. It was called the Alpha account. So you put your ATM card in. If your balance is zero, you can go to my Alpha account.
And were there just crazy penalty charges and stuff, probably, right?
I don't remember, but I remember I jacked my Alpha up to like $1,200 and then I didn't have any money to pay it and they closed my account.
Was this like the early 70s?
It was like the late. It was I think 2001 had just come out.
2001 had just come out. The movie or
it
the
was
year?
Like 87. It was like 87.
Was there a little
89
baby with a cigar in his mouth and a 2001 sash?
I knew that baby had a cigar in his. That's where I saw it.
That's what the movie's all about. It's the new year 2001. Should we take some calls? Or should I talk about the
before
awesome
we take
date
calls,
that I took Jillian on?
Before we take calls, I'd like to point out the
very nice date.
Diametric opposite.
Took on a very nice date.
What happened to you? There was a news story a few days ago.
I was in the news. I don't recall.
There's like a donut shop or something. It's a drive-thru. And the person, did you see this? The pay it forward thing lasted for like 8 hours.
What?
Somebody goes, "I'd like to pay for the guy behind me." And that guy went, "I'll pay for the guy behind me." And it lasted like most of the day.
No.
And then some asshole was like, "I'll take the rest of the donut."
It was like 180 or 200.
What are the chances? Look it up. What are the chances? There must have been a sign. There must have been a sign.
A sign from God?
That would be a sign from God above. If 108 people did that.
You know what?
The chances of two people doing it is slim.
If you, I did it.
Anderson did it.
I did it. Yeah. Toll road. Some guy.
I love doing it at toll roads.
I pulled up and the person goes, the guy in front of you got it. And I was like, yeah, fuck the dude behind me. No, I went, I'll get him. Because I felt guilty. Because I didn't want them to tell the next guy, hey, someone picked up that a-hole's tab. And
why would
he
they
just,
do that?
He screwed. I don't know.
Hey, fun fact about the guy in front of you. He didn't pay.
You can probably chase him down if you want. Get your $2.
Mm-hmm. I like to watch their reactions. I used to be a little kid. My mom would do it. It was really fun in Canada.
You should just pull over and reach your hand out to shake. Like you want credit. Like block them in. Pull your car
like
sideways. Starskin Hutch style. On the highway.
Yeah, he said that kind of funny.
He said it really weird.
Yeah, you know what? I found something that you said that was really funny over the break. Or I was missing you guys, and I was listening to a little show, and I actually took a screenshot of the time. It was so weird the way you said it, Mike. It was
what
very
was
weird.
It?
You want credit.
I don't remember.
What was it?
It was odd, though. I promise I'll bring it in next week.
How does the screenshot, how does that give some insight into
it? Tells
how
me that it was AD number 152 Clunge Week, and it was at 24 minutes and 49 seconds. Mike says something very odd. The
good,
way that he said
notes.
It.
Good notes.
I could just look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
What is it, 152?
152 Clunge Week.
49?
24-49. Yeah. Oh, we can do this and we'll be able to play it? Yeah.
You know what the coolest part about that app, besides the fact that the app sucks, the big one?
Oh, we're talking about the new podcast.
The reel to reel, like when you forward it and stuff, the reels move.
Yeah, I know. It's so fucking cool. I used to work on one of these machines. I could thread it. I could thread it like it was that.
Really?
Yeah. I used to seem like I knew what I was doing.
I sort of miss those
tape
machines.
Now I just push buttons. I just push buttons.
Remember in the 70s, if you were a serious aficionado of high fidelity, you had a reel to reel, which was like considered to be.
It's all over 2001.
Yeah.
And Clockwork Orange. All right. Are we going to take a call?
Let's do it.
We're going to take a call? Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? How you doing? How are things? How are you doing? You're on the After Disaster.
Fantastic.
Do we talk like this now when we get calls?
Good, man. We're doing good. So what's up?
Oh, that's a great screencast.
That's so creepy.
That's a good one.
I'm sorry.
That's a good one. Who did that?
Hey, man, so what's going on? How are you?
Nothing. I just closed all tabs, so I wasn't resonating After Disaster in my microphone.
That's very technical that you said closed all paths.
Tabs.
No, just closed all
paths.
I thought
you said paths, like as in audio pathways.
Mm-hmm. So other than closing tabs, what else are you calling the program for?
I'm going to close some tabs.
I'm gonna put
Tabby on.
Walk hard.
Remember when everyone had a fucking cat named Tabby? Those were not the days.
Tabby cat.
You guys are so old. My God,
damn. Hey, remember the mustache wax we used to buy in the dime store?
Remember the babies with
hey, guys,
cigars in the mouth and alpha jacking? Yeah,
I think I told you this. Maybe not, but I had
passing
some
fake bucks. At
I had
the
a
bank.
Good idea about 2:30 or about 1:30 in the morning, like a week ago. So I took a water bottle, I poked a hole in the top, and I filled it with bleach, and I went outside and I did a pentagram in the moss and walking into my building with bleach. And I came back the next day, and it wasn't very impressive. It's better now. Like the bleach, like the moss, it's a pentagram.
What would make you pentagram?
It's like this big.
Yeah, you tweeted that.
Yeah, but it's better now than it was like a week ago. Like it's really starting to come along. Like I'm a gardener. That's the point. It's just
it's the sidewalk walking into the
building.
It's about negative space.
Has moss on it, and I made a pentagram, so I'm proud of myself. I was going to say after disaster, but I thought that would be too incriminating.
That'd be pretty sweet. You should do that. At least AD.
I may do that tonight.
Next to the pentagram, put AD.
In fact, I guarantee I'll do that tonight.
People are going to think, oh, no, the Antichrist is coming after death.
The Antichrist.
I got a couple gardeners, two of them. I don't know why, but there's two of them. It's a team of two.
Hey, you should put that music on, man. That's pretty cool.
And I know that, you know, I've always heard that people like live in homes, like they tip their people. They tip their gardeners. They tip their mailman. Fuck the mailman. He doesn't come till 5:30.
Fuck that. I'm not tipping the mailman.
Plus, you know what? It's a mail lady. So, you know, that's weird.
Yeah. I will say I saw the...
It's all confused at your robotic mailbox.
I saw a very attractive male woman like 10 years ago.
Yes.
Very attractive. That's all I wanted to say about it.
10 years ago, you saw an attractive
on your
quality.
Route.
How many attractive, like
on your route,
extremely attractive male ladies have you seen?
None.
Four.
Yeah,
zero.
I saw one, so I'm ahead. Winner.
Was she in the mail room?
She was delivering, walking
in your neighborhood.
She was in this mail's room.
Did you find her route and move there?
She was in my neighborhood, but she was a temporary mail carrier.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
What you should do is find her permanent one, find the last house on her route.
Get an apartment there.
And then always have like martinis and like massage oils ready. And go back. Get done with the wrong day. Long, long day.
Massage oils in the middle of the day.
Hey, once you drop off that junk mail, why don't you play with this mail?
A little foot massage? I got some oils here.
That's a smooth move that you guys
see. You just reminded me of that scene in Boogie Nights where they're making the really crappy porn. And he's like, she's like, I'm starving. I haven't had anything to eat. And he pulls his pants down. Feast on that.
That's very inappropriate and gross.
Feast.
So I gave each of my gardeners $20 each. Mm-hmm. I felt like Santa and I felt like a big man. Like, here you go. I put it in his pocket like I was fucking Robert De Niro from Goodfellas.
Send your kids to college.
Yeah, I'm like, here you go, Merry Christmas.
Don't spend it all in one place.
And I didn't slap his face, but I patted. I did a little pat, like I put it in his breast pocket.
That is so demeaning.
It was not.
You're the worst.
It wasn't demeaning.
You can't put money in another human being's pocket and pat it like you're the Godfather.
You know what he did as soon as you closed the door and he got to the car?
He didn't do that, Tyler. Now it's offensive. Now it's offensive. Now.
You patted the money.
I might not have. In my head, I might have.
He probably thought you were a magician taking it back.
I don't even know if I put it in his pocket.
You just threw it at him.
I said, thank you very much. You guys do a great job. Sorry the owner never paid you.
You should have. You know what?
He doesn't. They're like, hey, we haven't been paid in 7 months. I'm like, I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, you may as well have ripped it in half and said, when you come back, you get the other half.
So. They took off last week. Good for them. They get a little holiday. It's nice. And they came in this week, and they were there today. And I was hiding inside because I felt huge guilt for being home in the middle of a day watching Gandhi.
And you thought they would expect a 20 every week? Because that's what
no,
I would have thought.
I thought that they'd look in the window and go, look at this fucking loser sitting at home while we're out slaving away. I shouldn't have used the word slave. God damn it. Anyways, so I was trying to draw my blinds even farther and make them, even though it only hits the two little windows, not the big. Anyways, long story short, I avoided them.
We said all the most privileged white fucks, by the way.
Usually I go out and give them water and stuff, talking a southern accent, fan my face.
At least out there with a lemonade and a chaise lounge with the
Yeah, I usually like to go out there.
Umbrella overhead.
I actually wait for them to come and I have the hammock ready.
If you want,
I love to lay in the hammock while they're working around.
If you want
to
make them really uncomfortable,
that'd be so pompous.
Right before they get there, lay in a beach chair wearing like a Speedo, just eyeballing them the whole time.
Point is, I'm obsessed with firewood. I shouldn't be admitting this either, but I'm hunting my neighborhood for old discarded Christmas trees, and I drag them home. Sometimes
you Leatherface.
Sometimes I'll find one in an alley, and if it's late enough at night, and I can drive enough slow enough, I'll hold it outside my window, and I'll drag it all the way down the street. So hey, I got four big Christmas trees in my backyard right now.
That's too dangerous. You're not supposed to burn that stuff because those pine needles fly.
Nah, whatever. So I'm going to have... No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. You're supposed to burn Christmas trees. Yeah.
What?
You're not supposed to burn Christmas trees because the pine needles take off and they light other fires.
The sapling might explode.
No. What? Really? I'm burning these babies. I'm burning these Christmas trees.
You better cover it with something.
You're the guy in the neighborhood, right? You're the guy. Yeah. They're like, there's that guy.
No,
watch
I'm not that
car.
Guy.
You might be dragging Christmas trees.
No
around.
One has seen me. I'd be humiliated,
Anderson,
and mortified if anyone saw me.
I can tell you this much.
I can't. I always burn my Christmas tree. Growing up, we always burn the Christmas
I
tree.
I will. Yeah,
that's
growing
not
up,
a tradition.
You can't do it anymore. It's
you also growing up through your turkey in the trash can.
Yeah, your dad
thing.
Also made you go to a kid's house.
Wait a minute. You should see my parents' fireplace right now.
Christmas trees.
Holy
galore.
Shit. No, it's
wrapping paper. Turkey?
Well, there might be some wrapping paper rolls in there. The cardboard rolls that are inside of those, and toilet paper rolls and paper towel rolls. Probably about 50 paper towel rolls are in the fireplace right now.
Do they think they're logs?
I think that every time
the garbage disposal, or
he's been—you don't put those down the garbage disposal. But my dad's been
like a flaming garbage
at least
disposal
for the last
goes
2 years.
Instead of down,
Soylent Green,
because it was about as half as full last Christmas, and then this Christmas I remember looking at it.
Nobody
thinking,
lights it.
If anyone lights that thing, it's going to be a giant fireball. Plus, the flue's closed, so if anyone lights that thing, it's just an instant inferno.
So clearly, dead. Your family respects fire.
It's probably at least 8 pounds of cardboard.
They'd make terrible cavemen.
People can't burn their fire trees.
Even
fire trees.
No, you cannot burn fire trees. You cannot burn fire trees.
Since when?
Because the needles go up and
what
they float.
Smokey?
It's. By the way, did you know it's Smokey Bear, not Smokey the Bear?
Did Smokey tell you that only you can prevent forest fires and you're trying to do your part right now? Because I'm burning these fucking things.
Okay, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
What about the log part? I can burn the log part.
Here's what I was going to offer to you, and I'm sure
part.
Tyler will follow suit. I will
Don't
offer
sue me.
I
Wait, Anderson, what's the log part?
Yeah, you didn't even mention the log part.
What? It's the part. It's the what? The log part.
Yeah, you can probably burn that part.
Trees, the log part. You just lop off the branches.
No, I'm
gonna
lop off the branches. I'm gonna burn those first and watch the fireworks that ensue, and then I'm gonna put the log part in.
I think if you fashion some sort of, I think if you built some sort of container to cover. Like out
you know
of screen, out of a screen. To
but
cover
the needles are so small they can get through anything.
A screen keeps out flies.
Ah, screens.
Fire retardant screen. And I hold it over.
Doesn't
it?
Need to be fire retardant.
I need to go on the roof and put it up there. Right?
It just needs to fit around the tree log.
Wait, what if the screen catches on fire and blows away in the wind?
This gets
That's
worse.
What would happen. Wait, I'm burning this fuck.
Here's what I would do: I would jam an oxygen tank into your fireplace to keep the embers from getting out.
Isn't this the plot of Backdraft?
I thought that was so Richie Cunningham could get a job.
This is the Christmas version of...
All right, clearly have to go camping. I got to bring my Christmas trees. So
okay,
we can burn them out in the wilderness.
Okay, hear me out.
Wait, I'll just burn them when it's raining hard.
This goes... Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, there we go. Done.
Why don't we just drown them?
Why don't I put sprinklers on my roof and then burn it?
Hey, actually, can someone on the phone pull up episode 152, 24, 49? Because our internet is so slow here that it will never play in time.
Okay, I have here's what I'm
done a little homework
offering to you guys. When we go camping, if that ever happens, right after we finish the t-shirts, I will offer to rent chainsaws and we go camping in a place where we can cut our own firewood.
I don't think you can just go in and cut trees down. They're all protected.
No,
it's California.
No, nature. Nature takes its course.
Not really. That's not men walking into the nature with chainsaws is not nature taking its course.
Especially which one of us would get killed first? I'm taking votes
you.
On me. Oh, absolutely.
Totally you.
I would immediately drop it on my foot.
Hey, guys, watch this. Someone I know was just trying to chop down a limb in their front yard, and it swung down and chopped their leg off, and they bled out in front of their entire family.
But did the family burn the leg after?
Yeah.
And did it cause any fires?
That's a horrifying story. And you know what? The whole thing about a chainsaw freaks me out. The fact that chain can come off and kill you.
Hashmir, I'd like to say thank you very much for the movie you sent me. I have not watched it yet. I am nervous too, but I will very soon.
Well, what movie
like
was
thank
it?
Thank you for the movie you sent me.
What is it? What is it? What is this? The Crispin Glover movie.
Oh, I liked it.
You saw it?
Yeah, I liked
it.
The
Memory Challenge? No, you never saw that.
I take that back. I saw the Joaquin Phoenix movie.
It's really hard to find, and he got it to me. And I'm very excited that I have it, and I look at it every single night. I'm like, tonight. Tonight will not be the next thing.
I got to say,
Gandhi.
I'm not buying that because of the fact that you would actually settle in for Gandhi.
I have to watch Gandhi, though. I lost the goddamn thing.
Oh, I see.
Lauren's watching Human Centipede 2.
Oh, she shouldn't be doing that.
I know. I told her not.
Who's she watching it with?
Herself.
What? She's a sick wife.
She's a crazy person.
Your wife is sick.
I'm not watching.
Also, I'd like to thank Andrew Carney, who not only hooked me up with the initial MoviePass invite, which I've been using every day, often. I might even go see that Tom Cruise Reacher movie just because I can.
But, what about Les Mis? Have you seen that yet?
No, hell no. I'm putting that off as long as possible.
I'll go see it with you.
But Andrew, no, that'd be awful. He's like humming the tunes next to
you. No, you got to sit through me giving you a synopsis of the entire story before we go in.
No.
Okay.
See, Andy, that's Jean Valjean.
You reminded me of something.
I also was in the middle of something.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Andrew Carney, thank you very much for those three movies you sent me today. Now,
speaking of Carney,
hey, guys,
you guys seen the Carney dog?
You don't have to send me movies to get me to watch them. It just makes me feel guilty, and I will watch them sometime this year.
Why don't you tip
and
the gardeners with the movies?
Keep not sending me anything.
You can just recommend movies, and even that, like I'll add them to the queue if it's 3, 4, 5 plus on my Netflix rating system. Otherwise, I just say thanks for the...
You could give those movies to your gardeners. Trace Centipedos.
But there's three of those movies. I'll watch them, Andrew. Thank you very much. Very, very kind of you. And I don't like it when people spend money on me because I feel obligated to watch things.
That's why I didn't get your Christmas present.
6 hours. I would like Tyler to give me something, though. Okay, so what did I remind you? I'm sorry. Please don't say you forgot.
This is a two-parter. I'm going to wrap it up in less than a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And
go.
Let's take bets on that.
At my AA meetings, there's a couple of things that
make
me uncomfortable.
That are named.
Let me preface it by saying I look forward to the meetings. I feel better when I leave than I did going in, and I genuinely like those meetings, even though the drinking part isn't
a lot of hot poon.
So there is a lot of hot poon, but the hot sober poon. That there's two things about the meeting that make me especially uncomfortable. There's three actually, but one is
dry.
The big one is you have to hold hands at the end, and somebody
seconds.
Says a prayer. So what I do is
slip out
I can like go to the bathroom and I split. The other thing is when people are celebrating their not drinking birthday, everyone sings happy birthday. Fine. I have no problem with that. In fact, it's nice. So they sing Happy Birthday, and then they tag it with Keep Coming Back. And I don't do that part because I'm a rebel, and I'm not playing along. Okay, here's what happened last week. We're singing Happy Birthday. The dude next to me, this is one of the worst things you can do on the planet Earth, starts singing harmonies. And I was like, I'm going to kill myself right now. It's the worst thing you can do. It's just shut
the
your trap.
The only time harmonies is okay is if all of a sudden barbershop quartet. Three other 60 guys
seconds.
Pulled out from behind you. And
okay, so
please help me out. What are harmonies?
Like you sing the fifth?
I don't know what that means.
Anderson doesn't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Mike, do a note.
La.
That was a bad harmony, but that's what it was.
La. How does he do harmonies by himself?
La. You can't. We were singing, Happy Birthday to you. I forgot the words.
Wait,
happy birthday to you.
We can't do this.
You sing it.
Settle down. We play everything off the internet, and you're worried about happy birthday?
These people are ruthless.
Okay, so the harmony thing, and I mentioned that to Tara, who went to a theater school, and she goes, that's...
Do they know that AA is doing it?
Doesn't matter.
Know, but they do now.
So I was telling her about how much that annoyed me and how horrible it was, and she goes, well, why don't you go sit through a theater class when they sing happy birthday and listen to what happens there. She goes, because it's not just harmonies. It's extensive harmonies, and somebody will whip out the Mariah Carey high voice at the end and just hold the note. And I was like, I would have to quit.
Mike, you'd like going to a baseball game with me because at the Dodger games, when we do the seventh inning stretch, take me out to the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Dodger Stadium, they do it twice, which is nice. I don't like it at stadiums when they only do it one time. But the second time through, I do it all like super old-timey barbershop style. It's my thing.
Take me out to the ball game.
Do you pretend like you have suspenders?
Hey, give me I don't know what you mean by that, by the way.
It's one, it's two, it's three strikes, you're
out. Oh, I can so see that.
And I shake my head.
You got a couple beers in you, old ladies behind you. Like,
such a funny young man.
And then you go like,
that's what I live for.
I was watching a clip today of a hockey game, a minor league hockey game, with a dog in the audience up on the second tier barking and watching the game, and it was delightful. It was the best hockey I've seen all year. That's not a lie.
Was he like this? Hey, hey.
Then you had to cut back to Gandhi after that?
Actually, I was watching it during Gandhi.
And I was thinking, watching a dog watch minor league hockey.
I was thinking that'd be a funny review if I said my favorite part of Gandhi was when somebody tweeted me a video of a dog barking at a hockey game.
That's how it was meant to be seen, at home while you're watching something else with a book on your lap open.
Okay.
Yeah, little did you know that's the director's cut.
Can I tell you, God damn it, it's not on here. I don't know how to find it again.
God damn it.
Happy birthday.
Don't. No, we don't. We don't do that. We don't do that. Trying to get the show shut down would be the dumbest reason for having the show shut down.
Keep coming back.
I think you're already saying too much.
Yeah, you're starting to get really into the program.
Hey, did you guys ever do this when you were a kid? I don't know how this started. One of my friends did it once, and I made an assumption that it was a standard thing to do, and it stuck in my head forever, even though I've only heard it once. You wrap up happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. And then he would go, without a shirt. And
I'd rather him harmonize.
I thought that was part of the birthday song. I thought that was like the adult version. Without a shirt.
Okay.
What did he probably hear that
I don't know.
Without a shirt? I'm sure it was something else.
Okay.
Shave and a haircut.
Okay.
Two bits.
Sorry, I'm obsessed with finding this stupid clip of the
dog.
I'm just going to burn the log parts.
I am. When you snip off all the branches, you get big, solid logs. So I didn't even finish my goddamn gardener story. Today, they leave, and I creep outside, and they're gone, coast to clear, and I have my backyard to myself again. So I took off my pants, because that's how I like to walk around my backyard.
What?
Just threw that part in to see if you were listening. You were. A giant stack of firewood, actual firewood, was left behind by, like, the firewood fairy. And I think my gardeners realize that I'm obsessed with firewood because they see all the goddamn trees. They're like, I got some firewood. And they, good, big, sturdy logs.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should have just taken the trees and
those 20s were well worth
it. Straight-faced, ask them to plant them.
Now, are they straight-faced? Do they see the trees and are they trying to discourage me from burning the Christmas trees?
Maybe they have an affinity for Christmas trees.
Somebody on the message board said, you're not supposed to burn the Christmas trees in your fireplace, but burning them elsewhere is fine. What the fuck does that mean?
Like as long as you don't burn down your neighborhood, it's okay. A-okay.
Burn them next to like some Indian's house.
I take them out of my fireplaces, burn them in the living room in a bonfire.
Like Gandhi?
Yeah, that's what it means, Anderson. Take it out of the fireplace and do it in the middle of your room.
All right, I took Jillian on a very nice date.
Let's hear it.
Oh, let's hear about how Anderson's so nice.
And I tried to make you guys part of it because I was constantly tweeting you and texting you and sending you pictures. But here's what it was. We watched all of first season American Horror Story, which that house is...
Wait, I didn't know we were invited to that. I thought that was...
You weren't invited to it. You were part of it, though, because I was thinking about you guys nonstop, and I was sending you pictures. And if you want to go, we can go. I'd love to do that again.
By the way, you're trying to give yourself a little too much credit for saying I tried to make you guys part of it by tweeting you pictures.
Well, I was thinking about you guys nonstop. I was thinking about you guys nonstop. All right. You're going to like it, though. You're going to like this, all right? Because I didn't tell you everything.
I've never seen American Horror Story, by the way.
If you had seen American Horror Story before, you'd really like this little date because the house is the first season. We haven't seen it in the second season because it's not that great. It's okay. It's not that great. There's something very homogenized. What's the word?
Homina.
What's the word, Tyler? Where it's all like nice and fluffy. Get off the phone, you pab.
Homogenized.
Is that your wife sobbing?
Probably.
Dylan McDermott makes everything very Disney-esque, as I said on the film ball last night. But... So he's in it, but the house is fucking remarkable. You would love this house, Mike.
I like that house.
The house actually had... Have you seen it?
I saw your pictures of it.
It's actually got more history in real life than they try and give it on the show. Not the killings. It doesn't have all the killings, but it's been there. Like, it's an older house, and they say that it is on the show. It's like 1903, I think, he started building it. And it used to be like even bigger, and you can see the Jillian and I were like kept circling around. We went to it twice. There's like, you can see the old brick steps that go down to like... It used to be like a church, and there's a covenant attached to it for a while. It's fucking cool. And then I took her like... about a mile and a half down the street in the same neighborhood to the 6 Feet Under house, which we saw every episode of that. That's our favorite show of all time. So that was really fucking cool. I found both of these houses. We both love the movie Drive. So I finished up the date before we went to see Cirque du Soleil. All right. So I took her to a dinner because I talked to you about this, Mike, before. But the movie Drive that we both love so much, all of us love so much. Mm-hmm. There's a great scene in a diner. Not the part where he says he's going to kick the fucking teeth in, but the other part where he's talking to the girl, Carey Mulligan. And it's like right by the 101 freeway. And I remember seeing it in the theater going, that's a great fucking diner. I want to go there one day. I found it. It is a Denny's, but it's a really cool Denny's. We walk in. It's pretty much empty. I found the exact booth that he sat in. So I said to the nice waitress, I said, can we sit in that booth? She said, sure. It's a giant one, like made for 7 people, but we sat in it. And then I whipped out my phone, brought it up on Netflix, and we watched that actual scene as Jillian sat right where Ryan Gosling sat. It was surreal. It was really cool. Jillian was completely into it. It was really awesome. We're setting up all the condiments exactly like they were in the scene. It's like a 30-second scene. We watched it like 4 or 5 times.
That's nice.
Took a bunch of pictures. And then, to top it all off, I went in the bathroom, had to pee. They had ice in the urinal. One of the all-time most underrated awesome things to do is to pee on ice in a urinal in a restaurant. It's so great if you're a man. Mm. Peeing on ice is great, right?
I think so.
Big, and it takes away. There's never any bad smells when you go in the bathroom with ice.
But that's not the way they do it. That's them getting rid of the old ice.
It's getting rid of the old ice, but also it kills any kind of hot smells.
Okay, hot smells? Here's what I wanted to know about that house.
I'll pee like in the corner so that like an avalanche will happen. And I feel like a man.
Yep. Like you put little snowmen in
there. My favorite thing to do is to walk like really far away from the urinal and just pee on the floor because I know that some slave has to come clean it
up. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the show where I had to pee. I was about to wet my pants and I skidded into the Target parking lot and I...
Not like a slave.
I focused as hard as I ever have to not wet my pants. And I pulled out my dick way too soon.
Jesus Christ almighty.
Like, I pulled it out like 12 feet from the urinal, and there were kids in there.
And then it started touching the urinal.
It was out.
What? Mike, you know what sucks? Is you're that guy, too. And you're like, in your head, you're probably thinking, oh, no, it's all going to come true.
I've almost peed my pants. In fact, I started peeing my pants a little bit last week.
Of the three of us, though, Mike, you're the last one that should have your wiener out in front of the young people.
Because it's so big.
Is it your Italian?
Stop it!
That house, I think your wife posted or you posted the cost of it, and it didn't look like a house that was that expensive.
It didn't look like a $17 million house, no, but that's what it's listed as. But it's not for sale right now because it's owned, and in the driveway, 3 cars. A giant GMC, like, extra cab truck, a Mini that's covered with a car cover, and, like, a nice, you know, middle-of-the-road Audi.
I was like, someone was doing some snooping.
Oh, we were doing lots of snooping. Yeah,
there's people that live there.
Guess what? When we pull up and I pull over to the side, it's a tiny little residential neighborhood. I pull up right in front. It was like movie theater parking because there was this parking spot right in front of the house. But it's a small little neighborhood. There was a guy out inside of his car taking a picture. A white couple. I saw them when I turned onto the street, like walking. It was kind of a weird neighborhood to be walking, especially if you're white. And they were walking up. They got to the house right when we were out taking pictures. So there was at least three of us in the neighborhood at the exact same time to see the house.
But I want to know where that $17 million price came from, because you can buy a house on the sand in Malibu for $11 million, $12 million.
Maybe someone owned it, and then the show came out, and they wanted to see if they could find some crazy buyer. I don't know.
When I was at that chick's house from that TV show, it doesn't matter. What was Lauren Conrad's parents' house? They lived on the tippity top of the hill in Laguna Beach. I don't know. I don't know.
Who's Lauren Conrad?
I don't know who she is.
Why are you so defensive about Lauren Conrad?
I don't know who she is.
Oh, he knows.
I don't know who she is. Her mom brought me in a room and said, "You remember Lauren?" I'm like, "I really don't." And she's like, "Look, you remember her." And then I realized I met her when she was like four.
When you walked
in. Oh, no wonder he's defensive. No wonder he's defensive. He's like, "She was four. I was 23.
It couldn't be. It wasn't meant to be.
Why are you so defensive, Mike? That's the most defensive you've
Because
been.
I don't know. Well, the point is, that house is...
Maybe in another lifetime.
...is one of the nicer houses I've ever been in. It's on the top of a hill, overlooking all of Laguna Beach, with an edgeless pool that has a view, a 360-degree view, and that was $17
million. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not a house appraiser, Mike. I don't know. You should go look at the house. Huh? The house is fucking amazing.
What neighborhood's it in?
Hancock Park. You want to go?
That's a horrible neighborhood.
I'm telling you. But there are some great houses there. You guys want to talk to Ali from Egypt? Hey, Ali, how are you?
Hey, guys.
How'd you know it was him, by the way?
Vatos Locos forever. It's not him. Vatos Locos. What's going on, man?
Yeah. Great. I have the episode if you want it.
Yes.
Can you play Mike saying something weird at 29:49 or whatever it was? 24:49?
24:42. Hang on one second.
Wait, I'm not sure. Was that what I said, Tai-Tai?
You said 24:49.
Yeah, 24:49 is a screenshot.
So they're a couple full blast. About 30 seconds in, I broke out in sweat, and my shins were, I could see the glisten on my shins, and my head was spinning. So they're kind of good at pushing drugs, so if anyone wants the guy's number, I'll give it to you later.
That was the whole point of the story.
I wanted to tell a story. So,
that's right. I want to tell a story.
Oh, can you play it again? That was so weird.
Was I drunk?
No, you weren't drunk at all. This is like way after you stopped drinking. Like this is a couple months ago. You played, wanted to tell a story.
Was I having
a
stroke?
Go to jail, buddy.
It sounded like it. It was your stroke, man.
I know it's stroke. I can't even do it now. That sounded horrible. I'm not happy that's
play that
in
part
the show.
Again, Ollie.
Can you play that? It's not Ollie, but.
Whoever
it
is.
Yes,
it's
Ali. Oh, it is Ali. Ali. What are you talking Vatos about? Locos. I wasn't expecting an Egyptian to come out the gate with Vatos Locos forever.
He's hardcore.
I heard you say it on a film vault. I like the movie. Oh, Anderson, I have a movie for you. It's by the same guy who made The Prophet.
Oh, yeah, I see. It's called Rust and Bone, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Hey, Ali, the way you go about doing this is you send him the DVD.
Yeah, that's how I watch it. Have you seen Rust and Bone, Ali?
No, but I have seen all of PTA's movies.
All right, there's no connection there at all. None. I don't know why you're talking about PTA and Rust and Bone. Hey, Rust and Bone.
Ollie, do you buy pirated movies at the bazaar?
Ollie, put your phone in sand right now. Ollie, have you seen Zero Dark Thirty? Did you find it offensive?
I don't have any sand in the house.
Hey, can you?
I don't have any sand in the house.
Ollie, could you please play that part again of Mike saying that he wanted to tell the story?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Full blast. About 30 seconds in, I broke out in sweat, and my shins were, I could see the glisten on my shins, and my head was spinning. So they're kind of good at pushing drugs, so if anyone wants the guy's number, I'll give it to you later.
That was the whole point of the story.
I wanted to tell a story. So,
wait.
That's so hideous.
This is true. You're going to go to jail, buddy.
There's something else about that story I forgot to tell you guys.
I don't remember the story. I just remember you saying that.
He gave me nitrous oxide, and he gave me an extra dose, and the woman said...
Oh, this is a dentist, right?
Yeah, she said, is it working? And I said, not really, and she goes...
You told this part of the story. No, but you sure? And then she cranked it up full blast.
Yes, and she held the mask on my face, and it wasn't a good high. It was a very uncomfortable, and my shin started sweating.
Yeah, we told that part. We just heard it twice.
But here's the thing is, the doctor
he's
goes...
He's going to follow up with what I wanted.
The doctor goes, the dentist goes...
Stuck in some sort of...
No, here's the most unsettling part about it, besides the fact that I thought I was going to have some sort of bad reaction because I was way too high and it wasn't comfortable, wasn't good. The doctor goes, are you feeling all right? And I said, yeah. And he goes, let's rock and roll! Like before... Before
this
he went
Seinfeld episode,
into my mouth,
it.
Before he started doing
before
something.
He went into your mouth,
yeah, he goes, "Let's rock and roll," and I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa!" Uh-huh. Don't use that terminology when you're doing any kind of oh my gosh, remember that? Did you see the doctor a few weeks ago that got sued because he was dancing the car wash and drilled into that person's face? The dentist?
What the hell?
No, that's pretty sweet.
He was working on a woman and he was dancing the car wash and he went right through and she had to have emergency surgery and still was into it. He drilled into her nasal cavity.
And that's why they don't allow Jack FM to be played in dentist's office anymore.
Even more unsettling is the guy that gave me the root canal has music cranking. Mm-hmm. And he kept talking to his assistant about, they're playing some good tunes today. And he's singing along. He's like, under my thumb. And I was like, easy.
Into your gums.
People are awkward.
Breaking the law.
Breaking your job. Breaking your job.
Ollie, how did you find out about Rust and Bone?
I heard someone talking about it on another podcast.
Don't you listen to other podcasts on me, sir. Ollie, not only do you listen to other podcasts, but you go on other podcasts and you don't mention us. Mm. Ollie.
That was only twice, and I haven't called them since.
That's the most Egyptian you've ever sounded, by the way.
Ollie, here's what we're going to do. Next week, Mike Carano is going to call us in from his house, and we're going to have him play back this part of the podcast where we hear you saying, because that was only twice. And it's going to be hilarious.
I just want to tell a story.
Sure thing.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, man.
We should call into Egyptian podcasts.
Oh, we're going to. Never mention
Ali. Did you guys know this guy named Ali?
No.
He called in all the time.
No.
We cut him off.
All right, can we play the song?
We have four more calls.
I don't know if we have four more minutes. Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Wait, did I put you in charge of the phones?
What's the delay, by the way, when people call in?
There's no delay. If they're listening on the phone, it should be like if I was talking to you. All right, so line six is dead.
I don't want to tell a story.
Hey, you're on the phone.
What's happening? Is this Marcus?
Fake Marcus.
Oh, what's fake up, fake Marcus?
Also, the Sherlock Holmes of dumb guy passwords.
Figured out your password.
Anyways, so Anderson was complaining about his movie experience, and I had a movie experience when I went and saw Django, because it was a Jamie Foxx movie, so... there were a lot of African American people in the audience, and
I find that hard to believe, to be honest with you.
No,
the theater I went into was pretty much all
Caucasian.
Where'd
you go? Orange County.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
In fact, we did go to Orange County.
You were behind the orange curtain, Mike.
Well, apparently they've never seen a Quentin Tarantino movie, so they all brought their kids. And then, so during the entire movie, I can hear them going, "Oh God, oh God," and saying, you know, African American stuff.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
Oh, shit!
Woo!
Sing African-American.
A guy punching the air at Union Station.
When I saw The Dark Knight, there was a person in the front row with a newborn baby.
Not good.
Even worse? That fucking baby was texting.
Thanks, Marcus, for the call and the race.
Fake Marcus. The guy who figured out my password.
Hi, you're on the After Disaster. You are the last call.
Forest fires.
The hell is that?
Hello?
What the hell?
You playing
was
Dungeons
that?
And Dragons and playing all the roles?
From the Smokey Bear reference about 30 minutes ago.
Fucking Marcus, man. Where you been?
Why do we get back-to-back Marcuses?
Marcus, where have you been?
Nothing much. Listening to it on the Friday morning because it's been hard staying up. You know, I need my beauty sleep.
Oh, I see. So you haven't been listening live. That's why you've not been around. Well, thanks for sticking
Marcus,
with us.
Marcus, what was the worst thing you got for Christmas?
I don't really get anything for Christmas.
That is the saddest thing uttered.
I tell everybody, do not get me anything for Christmas.
So do I.
Because,
so do I.
Accepting gifts.
Neither am I.
Yeah, I don't.
But
like
I will say, I got a couple things from people that I didn't tell not to get me.
Okay.
Are you talking about my scissors that I got you?
I love the scissors. Honest to God, might be my favorite present.
I thought you were going to talk about them in past tense. I was about to become very sad. I thought
the
you were
scissors
say, I loved...
might be stuck in a printer somewhere.
Hey, Marcus, have any of your dumb white friends ever said, "Marcus, dude"?
To start off the sentence,
Marcus, dude.
Yeah, brah.
like market, dude from Big Lebowski, but Marcus.
Never what? Seen it, but. No, I got it all the time.
You should
because,
say it's one of the great comedies.
You're out of your element.
I've always had a large, not too many black friends. Well, at my school in the hood. Or
I know. That's why they called you Darkest when you were listening to...
That sounded so stereotypical.
They called you Darkest, right, when you used to listen to heavy metal?
They did, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know you listened to metal.
Yeah, you listened to white metal.
Well, I listened to everything, but when they found out that I listened, they were like, you know, they called me...
You ever listened?
Darkest, and it was Warkest.
Gwarkus.
That's oh yeah, I forgot about that. That was awesome.
Hey, you ever
I
listen
like
to, do you listen to Head PE?
No.
Oh, you don't listen to everything. You just lied to us. Now I'm hurt.
Well, no. I had a couple things to talk about. One was Mike started off the show with saying, "What was it? Oh, he didn't get 2012," and which made me thought
you didn't hear what I said.
Oh, you didn't get much of last year though. You really didn't.
I absolutely didn't.
Okay. And so it's hard to hear you guys. And which made me think, a couple weeks ago I saw the movie Memento. Memento. And I fell asleep once and I tried to watch it again and I still have no idea what it meant.
Well, I'm going to fess up that I own it and I still don't know what it is. If it's
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Are you guys talking about Inception or Memento?
Memento.
I can tell you what it is. It's a movie that hipsters like to cite as a great movie, and the main thing that's great about it is that it's told backwards. And if you were to watch that movie forward and just, you know, change the editing around, it's not a great movie. It's an okay movie.
No, but I don't know. Did he really?
Who cares? Listen, Guy Pearce is fucking amazing in Lawless.
He's a great actor.
He's so good in Lawless.
L.A. Confidential.
So creepy.
Lawless is a great movie.
L.A. Confidential. One of the great movies really of all time.
Do you think he decided to shave off his eyebrows for that role? Or was that someone?
I could see him.
I feel like him being like,
yeah, I could see him wanting to do it.
That'd be weird.
John Hillcoat, though, directed it, and he's kind of a hardcore director. He's kind of hardcore.
Dude, that the
he's an hardcore Aussie director.
That moment with the was, I was.
I'm going to go buy L.A. Confidential now because I want to watch that again.
My jaw was agape at that scene.
I don't know what scene you're talking about. Oh yeah, that was pretty good
with Tom Hardy. Like
that was pretty good, and then he held it. Yeah, that's what I'd always do. Like, if I was going to get hung or something, I would hold on to the rope. They never hold on to the rope.
Their hands are tied behind their back.
I've seen a lot of movies where their hands aren't tied.
I would just tense up my neck.
They're just by their side doing jazz hands, and it's very unrealistic. These...
Jack and their alpha.
Hey, I would just turn sideways on a firing squad.
Lawless wasn't bad.
No,
Shia LaBeouf did not ruin it.
No.
He tried. Have you seen Lawless there, Marcus?
No, but...
Marcus,
no,
what do you do?
But
how do you make money, Marcus?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
How do you make money?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not right now. I'm not working. But
so what do you do with your goddamn time? You don't see movies?
I was working, and I had a steady job at a pizza. Would it be called pizzeria?
Pizzeria is what
it is. Mainstream?
Is that how you got fired? Was like they asked you
chain.
Where you work, and you said, I'm not
main
sure.
Main chain?
Pizza house.
Well, no, I stopped because it conflicted with school, and, you know.
Oh, so you're in school. Okay.
You can't go back and read. Well, it would be too time-consuming to go back and redo classes, and you can get a job again. So
confused. Oh, that's true. Yeah, well, you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
You got to strike while the pizza oven's hot.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I wouldn't have said that.
I was trying to think of something where it would go, but I'm
me too, and that's the best pie I came up with. I'm really, really tired at this point.
Let's tell the pizza dough twirls.
So what's up?
Come on.
I wasn't keeping track of which one of you guys saw Django.
I saw it.
Silent.
We all saw it except for Tyler.
Tyler has not seen it.
I heard that there's a part in the movie where the N-word gets used.
You mean the entire
movie? Nonstop?
Really, really quick, back to back, or it's a scene where it's used a lot. Were any of you guys uncomfortable?
I was because the theater was completely empty except for one black couple sitting like two rows behind me. So that made me, and I was sitting completely by myself.
Do you have to make fake moves like you're cringing? Like, ugh.
You should have turned around and looked at him. Is it okay to laugh? Is it okay to...
I just kept shaking my head in disgust.
I'll tell you what
and
makes
I pretended
me...
like I was writing a complaint to Tarantino.
It does make me uncomfortable when I see that in movies, but it makes me especially uncomfortable when it's a character that doesn't need to say it, saying it like Quentin Tarantino.
True Romance, that one scene, which I cite as the greatest scene in any movie ever. Marcus, have you seen True Romance?
No. I'm not big on movies.
You need to spend more time doing things with your life. Not going to school.
Like this past Tuesday, I just saw Pretty Woman.
We might have to cut you off. No, I like that movie, actually.
I did a scent of a woman sound for Pretty Woman.
Do you want to come over and watch Gandhi?
Yeah, you want to come over to my house and watch Gandhi?
No, it sounds... sounds awful.
That it was mainly coming over to my house and hanging out with me. That was
hey, Django. You could go paintless in the backyard and
no,
burn log.
No, fine. I was talking about hanging out with you.
One of the most racially
that was a Scott joke.
Charged, insensitive, yet hilarious scene. Well, the great, my favorite scene of all time is in the middle of True Romance, and Tarantino wrote that one as well. And we talk about it a little bit on this week's episode of the Film Vault.
Okay.
Fun to know. And I know you don't listen, like Mark. I know you don't listen. What's that, Marky?
You should get three limits on promoting the Film Vault.
Film Vault, Film Vault, Film Vault.
This entire episode has been a Film Vault.
Nope. That's true. It kind of has been.
I think Anderson's been auditioning.
yeah, some new talent.
Mike, what do you think?
No.
You
know no, but Brian's not real pleased with me right now. But
he's going to go rogue and replace you with one of us.
I watched that because I saw True Romance.
Brian's worst
five,
nightmare.
Six, seven times in the theater. And I remember seeing it one of those, the second time I saw it. And I was sitting right next to a very, very large, angry-looking black man. And I knew what I was about to be seeing.
Yeah.
And I knew that that scene was going to come up. And I was really uncomfortable all the way up until that scene, during the scene, exceptionally uncomfortable. And God damn it, I was pleased when he was laughing throughout that scene.
That's the one thing that got him.
But you should watch that movie, Marcus. Cause it's
True Romance.
It's one of the old... I want to say it's underrated, too.
The thing about Django that I...
Did you like True Romance?
Never saw it.
I've seen it.
I'll get to it.
Stop trying to get out. Make me look like an asshole. I saw it.
What about Django?
It's just like we've all seen it except for Tyler.
Django's rolling along, and you kind of forget it's a Quentin Tarantino movie for a second. I'm saying what reminded me more than anything besides the N-word being thrown around nonstop was when the shooting starts.
It's yeah, he not like squibs.
It's not like, what do you mean?
No, he uses like their large water balloons filled with blood.
Really?
That's what it seems like. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is when they're shooting,
he's like a 50-year-old man, and he's still like
there's like brains coming
with, yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's
and
too it's, much.
It just never stops. It's like too bam, much. Bam, bleh, eyeball, brain, head, forehead, and it just keeps going and going and going.
It's too much.
And I'll tell you, the biggest disappointment to me was when Jamie Foxx first whips that first guy, that his clothes never ripped. Like, he's whipping this guy, and the guy's just rolling around screaming in pain, but his clothes never ripped, and there was no blood in that scene.
And he wasn't whipping right. Like, he wasn't
I heard there's a lot of inconsistencies like that. Apparently, there's dynamite in the movie.
Yes.
Dynamite hadn't been invented yet.
How do you figure? Really? Dynamite's been around since the 1700s.
Yeah, but maybe the kind that doesn't sweat. Maybe that, you know, the nitroglycerin. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm going off of knowledge that I learned on Lost point.
You know what I'm going off of? I just made that number up, 1700s. I'm going off a Western movie that was probably 1880.
For, like, gold mining a lot, right?
Yes, they use it in all kinds of mining.
Guys, it's Friday. Your day is almost half over. Look at this. Look at the clock. Can you believe it?
Why is the day almost half over? Where they started in the morning?
They didn't start until like 11:30. Maybe they watch it like I watch Gandhi. A lot of pausing.
What if they got rid of their coffee and now they just listen to the After Disaster to wake up?
How about this stupid idea? We tell people to watch this to listen to the show as you did
Stop
Gandhi.
Right there.
They get 10-minute intervals and they start like the next night and listen to 10 minutes. We time it out so it's a week long show. Every night you get 10 minutes.
Oh my god! I tried to do this for real. I say that we figure out like how long it takes the house cleaning crew to clean a room, and we become the housemaid podcast. I said this a while ago.
The official podcast of housemaids everywhere.
Yeah. And then like when they're cleaning Motel 6, they can be listening to us.
You see, Django, don't forget to vacuum. The part I didn't like about Django is make sure you clean the tub. Don't forget to Lysol the mattress, too. Does Lysol kill bed bugs?
All right, Marcus, thanks for calling up and making us feel like shit.
That's my job.
Yeah. How's hockey? Is it going to come back this season?
Nope.
Thanks, Marcus. All right.
I want to tell the story.
You got it.
Thank you.
Where
do you think it came from?
I hate to plug myself.
Oh,
last...
I know who gave it to us. Scott by Scott.
Buddy.
Scott by Scott's the greatest.
Yeah, he is. He should be on the show.
I've essentially farmed out my work to him. I've outsourced myself to him, basically.
I don't understand.
He can Skype in and be on the show. Why don't we just Skype him in and let him hang out the whole time?
Because he's a quiet like background guy. And
that's what I'm saying. He'd be a good fourth wheel.
Tyler came up with a great idea
tonight.
He
doesn't talk.
Any way to call...
Tell the story. I think I was having a stroke or something.
Any way to call Germany free on your Skype?
I don't know. I think you have to pay for...
Because I was doing this
thing. It's very inexpensive. It's 11 cents a minute.
I was doing this thing earlier tonight that I do with Drew too often.
Tell the story.
And Tyler just happened to be in here before Loveline, before the pre-show. I was doing this other project that I do with Drew, and we discovered this new thing with a German, like, what is it, like a lab where they study anger?
Yeah, and they have a 24-hour line where if you're really angry, you can call it and just yell at a non-judgmental person that will listen to you.
We can absolutely do a Skype. It's 11 cents a minute. Mm-hmm. The only we can use my phone and do it.
How do we patch it in, though?
I can do the headphone jack out into this, but I need to figure out my Skype password first of all.
Yeah, this is a conversation we should have in the parking lot. Oh, before we end the show,
I want to tell a story.
You can tell your story in a second, Mike.
We could make that the entire show where we just yell things at this guy in Germany. I want to tell a story. I'm sure we could find somebody in America that would let us give them $20 and they'll let us yell at them.
Tyler, can you start playing the song there?
I want to tell a story.
I want to set up a date, Mike Corona, right, with you and unnamed man who may or may not be helping us with the t-shirt designs. And I have a place picked out, and I think both of you guys may. I know you'll be excited once we show up there.
Okay.
Can I just throw it down and give you an address, and we'll come up with a time, and you guys can just meet there?
Is it Universal Studios?
No, it's a restaurant. It's a cheap restaurant.
I wanted to tell the story.
And Ty, you'd be involved too if you didn't work such heavy 9-to-5 hours. Wow, it's really loud. It's exceptionally loud. I can't hear myself talk.
It's the same volume as your patty slide.
No, it's really loud. It's exceptionally loud. Thank you. Well, there's in between, I'm sure we could all be happy with.
Can I, no, I'll do it next week.
What's that? What are you going to do?
I want to tell the story.
Looks like a space pen.
What are you talking about, Mike? I'm in the room with you. I don't even see the pen you're talking about.
The pen that's next to the microphone flag.
There's nothing spacey about it.
It's like a space pen.
It's just a regular.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Ballpoint pen.
When I was a kid, they sold space pens in the back of TV Guide, and it was a pen that you could write with upside down.
Yes.
All right, guys, I don't know about you, but I've been doing my homework, and I care about the show, and I care about the direction of the show, and when something works on the show, I say we stick with it. Unfortunately, we're such pab fucks that we don't continue to sell mugs that sell for an average $150 each. we don't create a t-shirt that people are clamoring for. The masses are clamoring for this t-shirt, and god damn it, we came up with 3 facts a week and we can't even continue to do that. 3 random facts. So you know what, Anderson's dusting off an old classic.
Some
random fact.
Tell the story.
Let's go. I even brought in some research. I'm going to tell you a little something about the cliffhanger, boys and girls. It's really hard to hear myself think of it.
I like that. I actually like that as the ending. If he goes, I'm going to tell you a little something, and this fades out, and we just leave.
It's like the one where you guys talk shit about me at the end.
I don't understand what's going on right now. I'm trying to tell a random fact.
Oh, are you trying to tell a story?
So not only was it a 1993 movie, I think, with Sly Stone, Sylvester Stallone, called Cliffhanger. Not a very good movie, where he's hanging off of a cliff in the ocean and the snowy parts of the world.
Climb on the mountain.
But the term cliffhanger actually comes from an old pulp serial novella from the turn of the century. And I'll tell you what the name of that book was and who the author was.
Next episode.
Next week. It's a hilarious. It's a bit. It's a bit. Like
I don't like these.
We can just give you the cliffhanger answer next week. Get it, Mike?
Yeah, I like it.
Come on, Mike.
I like it.
Tell the story,
Mike. You don't like it. You just feel pity.
No, I like it now that you. Now that I get it.
No, Mikey.
He's gonna like Memento in about 7 years.
I see what happened. No, I really don't see what happened in Memento. Like, I was waiting at the end for him to solve the crime, and I understand it's played backwards, but I don't understand who killed his wife.
All right, so Jill and I started watching 30 Rock, finally. Show is goddamn hilarious.
Never seen it.
You would love it, because I don't work in TV a lot, but I work in it enough, and definitely there's a lot of parallels with radio, and so much of it is total satire. And
it's like Larry Sanders, right?
Hyperbole. A lot like Larry Sanders, but this is like really gets into all the gross things that occur. And they're supposed to be funny, but there's so much truth to them. It's
Larry
so gross.
Sanders did too, though.
I know. But that was before I worked in TV or radio. So, but now watching 30 Rock, it's like, holy shit. Like, that's funny, but that's real too. So it's angerifying, but it's hilarious too. And it helps me laugh at the horribleness it is in the real world that I deal with. I know white man problems, but like just awful, uncreative bosses coming in.
Yes.
I don't know if I said too much, but Christ almighty.
I said too much.
But all that aside, the point, the reason why I brought it up is one of the most funny random things I've ever heard in recent memory is Tracy Morgan, who plays an actor on the show. He's supposed to be crazy. It's kind of based on Tracy Morgan, yeah. Except his name is Tracy Jordan. And he's talking about all these crazy things he owns, like gold bird cages and this and that. And he's just going on. You can tell he's just ad-libbing. And he goes, I own the AIDS monkey's bones.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's excellent. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
That's really funny.
I wish we had the kind of show where we'd end on something funny that we said.
Yeah. What the hell was that?
I wanted to tell the story.